This morning we got the girls are going to lead us in worship. You think you girls know how to do that? Well, one says yes, the other shrugs her shoulders, and the other is ignoring me. So, they love me a lot now. After that introduction. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for these girls and we bless them in the name of Jesus. May the grace of God be upon them. May the angel of the Lord overshadow them and guard them in all their ways. We bless them in Jesus' name. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy and the abundance of your grace. May we bring glory to your name today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship the Lord together.
So high. Your praise will ever be. peace will ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips.
I had a sense this morning that the Lord was saying to come in once again to the throne room. He's breaking off condemnation off of us. The things that would keep us from coming in. He likened it to if you're invited to a wedding, would you be content to stand in the coat room? Or would you come in to the main hall because you're invited in? The Lord said, time after time, I've invited you in to the throne room, and you seem to be content to stand in the outer court. The Lord says, with the breaking off of the condemnation off of you, there is freedom for you to come in because you have been invited time after time after time. God says, you're believing a lie from the enemy that says that you're not worthy to come in. The Lord says, I say to you, come in. Come in. Come in and receive from me.
Let's not just let that one go into the history books, okay? Let's actually act on that word, okay? So let's do that. Lord Father, we just come before you because of your insistent request, even command, because of your drawing, because of your love, because of your goodness, we come. We enter in before you. Clothed in the purity given to us by Jesus, we come with confidence and with expectation to receive from you. Lord, I pray a release over every person in the hearing of my voice to receive a release of the Holy Spirit over every one of us to draw us into you. And to have us by faith access all that you have for us today.
We can access it by faith. There's also a protocol involved with what Keith was talking about. We just celebrated Thanksgiving. Okay? So you enter his gates with thanksgiving, but you enter his courts with praise. So if you're just sitting, if you're waiting for a certain something, something to move you to be able to worship, because he's always worthy. He's always worthy. There is no reason for us to stand in the coat room and say, but I had a bad day, I had a bad morning, they're not singing a song I like, da la 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 la. Whatever you want to say, you're not going to enter into the throne room if you're content to stay in the cloak room because it's on your end, it's not on his end. He's always waiting with his arms open. He's always waiting, and he's worthy to be worshipped. He's worthy to be praised.
It's up to us. It's up to you. It's up to you. You choose and you receive according to what you choose. Early this morning, Big Dave had something similar going on in his head. Dave, you just want to share what was going on with you?
So I woke up with the song It Is Well With My Soul, which I know front to back and backwards and upside down, but the only verse that I could get out this morning was my sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, was covered by Christ, is what it says, right? And I was thinking along the lines of, it isn't just everything in the past that's forgiven. Because all of us, unless we die in the next 5 seconds, I mean, some of us are going to have bad attitudes towards Dave right now, which God takes offense at, just in case you're wondering. But we will all sin at some point. And, you know, it might be the little white sin, or it might be a little more drastic. But that was covered. And I think that's really, maybe, I think that's what you're, same thing as Keith was saying. Because we're in the cloakroom going, well, you know, in the future I will sin, or, you know, oops, I've sinned since he forgave me. Or, you know what, he did it knowing what you don't know yet, what you are going to do, what you have done, and he did it before you did it. And he took all of that, all of my sin, not in part of it, just, you know, from now in the past, but even the future sins. He took my sin, all of it, and nailed it to the cross, so that we can leave the cloakroom and participate where he is. Is that what you want to mean?
So, Lord, we do give you thanks that you have covered all the bases, not just the ones we think of, but you've covered the whole package. We are covered, and we are kept by your love and mercy. Thank you, Lord. We bless your name.
Strong as I long, draw me to. Good morning. God was showing me things, and what he was showing me is that as we enter to his throne room, you're clothed in white, and you go in joyously. There are some of us who are hesitant. We're not worthy. We're not ready. It's too far out of the comfort zone. God has appointed me at the doorway. And if you don't go in, I'm to encourage you and to push you in that door.
If you got the picture, when you come, he clothes you You're fit to come in whether you like it or not. And if you don't respond and get moving, she'll push you in. And that's very much the heart of the Father, is that his desire is for us to come in. Don't pause at the door and say, well, I'm not good enough, or whatever your pausing is. You are clothed with his righteousness. That makes you good enough. You can go in. Welcome to the house of the Lord. Has an insight that goes right along with this song. So we're going to interrupt the song, turn Keith loose, and then come back to the song.
Yeah, that was the Spirit of the Lord moving with that selection. After Dave got done talking, I heard the Lord say, come walk with me in the cool of the garden. And it took me back to Genesis. I just want to read the first few verses. Starting in verse 8, it said, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. The word sound there is translated as voice. So they heard his voice.
while he was walking in the garden. The word cool is actually the word ruah, which is breath of God. So they heard his voice releasing his breath, the life and the spirit into them. He already knew what they had done. The same thing Dave was talking about. But yet, he chose to come into the garden and walk through, releasing into them his spirit, the ruah of his breath, life into them, even though he knew they had opened the door to death. That's how he sees us. He does not see, as Dave said, what we have done, but he offers himself to us by his Spirit, no matter where we've been, no matter what we've done.
To the secret place where I can be.
sacred place where I can be with you.
Just a little thing to share with you. A long time ago, I used to do children's church, whatever it was. And every time that I had them, because it was a rotating sequence, I would ask them, what is the most important thing? And they were to tell me, if they were Keith, for example, they were to say, God loves Keith. And if they were Mason, they were to say, God loves Mason. We just sang a song that there's a secret place. And you might say, how do I get there? I want to tell you why it's secret. It's because it's only you and God there. It's nobody else. It's just you. God loves Keith. Like as if he were the only one, and God meets with Keith. And when he does, secret. Not even Diane's involved in that. It's just Keith and God. Is it secret? Yes, it is. But it's the marvelous place where you see the love of God. And that is the most important thing you will ever in your life know.
Wrap me in your arms.
Lord, we do thank you for releasing your word within us and releasing your grace to us. We thank you. We thank you that even as we have sat or stood or waited upon you here today, you did works within us. We thank you for that. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'd just like to comment one thing. So often we think, well, I didn't hear anything. We're so hung up on our brains. Either our brains or emotion. Either we got to think something new, got a new revelation, or we feel something warm. And our whole experience in terms of spiritual life has to do with either our brain or our emotions. I'd just like you to recognize that the basis of our spiritual life has to do with our spirit, not our brain, nor our emotions. And so when we gather together to draw near to him, he says, I will draw near to you. And what he accomplishes in the spirit realm is not measured by your brain or by your emotions. I mean, that's so basic that it's almost ridiculous to even say it. But as we gather ourselves to him and he works his works within us, sometimes we recognize it, we're emotionally zipped up. Sometimes we have a revelation, we have something in our head. But sometimes he just does his work and we discover it 3 weeks later when we discover we've been changed and we don't know when it happened. And we think, when did that happen? And God knows, because he's the one that did it. I remind you that he's the creator. You are not. Ultimately, he is the creator, and he creates. He continues to create. That's his nature. I just want to say that again. Just as God is a lover, and he loves as a... That's the way he is. He loves, and 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 he loves. He is also the creator, and he creates, 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 and he's creating his works in you, and that's good news. Can you say amen to that? Okay, George, you're going to talk to us about something. A bunch of something.
You talk to us about something. You have something to talk to us about.
Okay, one of the things that I think it's underneath this one. I don't know what that one is. One of the things is that we have a nudging to go and do some Christmas caroling, and we're just trying to get a number of people that might want to do some Christmas caroling. It's noted on December 8th, which is a Saturday evening, so that if you're interested, we just need to know some kind of numbers so that we can prepare for food and stuff. All right, you want to take care of that?
Yes, I do. So a couple other announcements. Appreciate those of you that helped out with a few meals for the Howards this last week, and I know we've got a few more coming this week, and I appreciate those things. I'm going to send around a sign-up sheet for the following week as well, December 3rd, 5th, and 7th, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday of the following week. And if you have time to help out with kids or cleaning or something like that, I know that Jessica would really appreciate that. So that's also on this sheet. So there's two pieces of paper on this sheet, okay? The caroling on the bottom. What's the date on that, Dad? Oh, it's right here, December 8th, 6:30 to 8:30, right there. And on top of it's a sign-up sheet for not this week, but the following week, okay? Because we already have coverage for this week. In addition to that, is Paula around or not right here right now? We have the standard food pantry protocol around here for Christmas is to party it up, okay? And so as you guys know, we make, I can't even remember how many cookies, but like hundreds of dozens of cookies to hand out on Christmas plates. Every Christmas, and so we have a big party, and we put out Christmas cookies on a plate. And so if you would be willing to sign up for some number of dozens of cookies made, it tells you right here on these sign-up sheets, please bring the cookies to church by Wednesday the 19th. The distribution will be, I believe, the very next day. Mom? So, yeah, it's Wednesday, 12:19. We probably need it by, what time on Wednesday do we need it? No, it can't be. We must be making it on, by 9 o'clock on Wednesday morning is really when it needs to be. This says cookie plate assembly Thursday, 12:20 at 9:30 a.m., so Thursday morning. All right, so we'll check on this. Okay, so as long as it gets here, we'll re-announce this when we actually know what we're talking about. How about that? Wouldn't that be a good idea? So Nevertheless, you can sign up if you want to. The question is only whether you need to get it here early on Wednesday or late on Wednesday. But you can sign up for dozens of cookies if you'd like. I'll send one this way. I'll send one over this way, too. Do you have any other? Christmas caroling, yes. Papa.
We are planning to drive in our cars to a number of different homes and sing two or three carols and then go to another one, two or three carols, and another one, two or three carols, eventually ending up back here with cocoa and cookies or something. And we'll sing to ourselves.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Are you aware of that fact? The earth was without form and was without contents. It had neither structure nor stuff in it. It was empty and formless. And obscurity was over the face of the deep. The deep being the source of waters, the source of stuff. And the Spirit of God was vibrating over the surface, or the face, of the sources. And then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. I have a question for you. Here's my question. What was there listening to hear God say, "Let there be light"? What was listening that heard God say, "Let there be light"? Just before God said, "Let there be light," what was there? Anybody? Nothing. Nothing was there. There wasn't a substructure. There wasn't stuff in the structure. There was no form. There was no content. There was nothing to listen to what God said. And yet, God said. Pretty amazing, actually. Who, next question, who or what happened? Who or what came into being at his word? Everything. And everything not only heard the word that it wasn't even there, it didn't exist, but in the word it came into existence and then heard and did what was spoken by God. Who or what was there? Who or what came into being? Who or what did what? All of those questions were actually answered because God said, "Let there be light." You see, I'm not sure exactly what was there, or I have a hard time understanding the true nature of nothingness with no structure. Okay? It's one of those things that's tricky to make a picture of. Okay? But I'll tell you that the words of God are very creative. In their very essence, they are creative. Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I got an eyelash, so that's not going to help me. My fingers, my dirty fingers. All right, thank you. Thank you, Stella. Thank you. I'll take that as love, because I know it. That's where it came from. The words of God are creative in their very essence, and they're creative, sufficiently creative to, number one, create something that we'll hear, okay? Provide something for it to hear, and enable it to operate according to His Word. Do you see, in creation, God said something to nothing, and because He said something to nothing, nothing became something. It heard and did as He said. That's the power of the Word of God. God is creative in His essence. And His Word is powerful to create. It's the same breath that breathed in the garden, the same ruah, the same cool of the that was well, to welcome the connection.
It's the same
voice.
The Spirit of God was moving over the water. That word spirit there is the same one as the cool.
The ruah. The ruah.
The voice. It's not ruah.
The voice one.
It's,
oh, okay.
Rauch.
Okay.
I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but it's R-A-U-C-H.
Okay.
It's the same. It's the breath. It's the spirit.
Right. So it's the spirit, the sense of spirit. So, in the beginning, we start with nothing, and then God speaks. And because He speaks, there's something that hears, and that something that hears can be empowered to be to active, to become. Okay? So let's just see that. I'd like to draw a parallel to another verse with which you are quite familiar in the New Testament. And then let's go from there, okay? The parallel comes out of Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, which you're familiar with. It says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So let's look at that one. Let's kind of break that one down a little bit. The word comes actually isn't in the original Greek. The next word is out of. So faith out of, or originating from, or by reason of. Okay, so faith by reason of. Okay? Faith by reason of what? Faith by reason of hearing. That word hearing actually means three separate and distinct things, okay? First of all, the word hearing means the sense of hearing, okay? So Keith is sitting here, and the sound of my voice actually interacts with his mind because he has a sense called hearing, okay? So that word hearing means that sense, okay? The capacity to hear, okay? That's the word hearing. But also, Keith is interacting with the sound of my voice because he's accomplishing an act. He's doing something. He's hearing, okay? And that word means that as well. So it's not just his capacity to hear, but his activity at hearing, okay? His actual action of hearing. And then, Keith is interacting with the sound of my voice because he's receiving the contents of my words, okay? He's hearing what I'm saying. Do you see what I'm trying to say? And the word hearing encompasses that, all of that. All of that. The capacity to hear, the action of hearing, and the receiving of information through that capacity. Okay? All three of those are within that. And so the scripture here is saying, faith comes by hearing, by the actual ability to hear, by the actual action of hearing, and by the actual receipt of that which is in the hearing. Faith comes through all of that, and hearing by the rhema of God, by what God is speaking. Okay? So now, If you take this verse and you reverse it, okay, because causality goes in the reverse direction, okay? This comes from this, which comes from that, or this comes by this, which comes by that. So causality and the temporal order of it is the Word of God, and out of the Word of God comes the capacity to hear, the activity of hearing, and the hearing of the sense of the internals of it, the reality of it. All three of those come because the Rhema of God is spoken. God speaks. It gives me the capacity to hear. It gives me there's a possibility that I can act on that hearing, and then the hearing itself of the substance of God's word is available to me. And through all of those three things comes faith. Okay? So if you take the scripture, Romans 10:17, and you direct it from a time-like sequence or from a causality perspective, it starts with the Word of God, what God says to you, Scott, okay? What God says to you, it provides, and a wonderful example of this is creation itself, okay? It provides to you, Scott, the capacity to hear, okay? So you are able to hear because God speaks, okay? And then it provides you with the opportunity to actually accomplish hearing, okay? So, Dad, you can accomplish hearing because God speaks, okay? And then, Kathy, you can be transformed. You can have the data come in. The substance of what God is saying can be yours because God speaks, okay? So that's the first causality. And then, because He has created within you the capacity to hear, that He has given you the ability to do so and to receive His reality through that, out of that comes faith. Okay, so let's look back at creation. God speaks to nothing. He creates this in that speech, creates the something that can hear. And then, having created the something that can hear, that something hears and becomes because of His word, His rhema, what He speaks. This is the nature of faith. I'm going to go back to Genesis chapter 1 and talk to you about mankind, because mankind's a unique creation in all of what God has done. If you look at verse 26, then God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness." The reality is God created mankind in a fundamentally different way than everything else that was created. Yes, you have, you know, some biology and some physics and some chemistry that's associated with this realm, but He created you not just as a part of the realm, but He created you as something very much like Him, something in His image, something different. He immediately says after that, according to our image, in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule, okay? He immediately goes into the reality of ruling. Now let me just tell you something. If you are in the image of God, of course you are intended to rule. And of course you are intended to operate in a creativity like Him. If you're in the image of Him, you're made for that purpose, okay? That's what you're like. You scooch ahead, He says, He blesses man, saying to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Now, I have a question for you. Are you a living thing that moves on the earth? You are. And so you know what? God gave you rulership over you, which is fundamentally very different than anything else on the planet. He gave you rulership over you. It's a powerful thing. You're called to rule you. One of the interesting facets of your calling to be in the image of God, the fact that you get to rule over you, is that you get to decide what to do with Rhema. You see, the cosmos don't decide. God says, let there be light. And boom, not only can they hear, they do hear, and they do what he said. Boom, light happens. That's the cosmos. You're different. But faith comes by. So you see, in the middle step of faith comes by, there's you. And the middle step of faith comes by is your choice. Because the rhema comes. And the rhema produces within you the capacity to hear. The rhema comes and the rhema produces within that capacity to hear an actual potential for you to go ahead and receive. And within that rhema is the instruction to transform, to make you into who you're called to be. But in that place, you rule. You choose. Your choice happens. And faith is therefore, from a causality standpoint, not just God's decision. He gives it to you. It's a gift. It's for you. But you get to choose. Do you see what I'm trying to say? It's an interesting little fact that you are capable of going with that particular flow, just like the cosmos did and every other created thing. Or you're capable of just tapping the brakes gently and slowing the thing down. You know, right in the beginning of this service, I think that it was Keith that started us off with this notion of come into the throne room. Don't let stupid things hold you back. Don't let, you know, condemnation and guilt and junk like that hold you back. Because you're welcome in my throne room, says God to you. But guess what? Guess who gets to decide whether you go in the throne room or not? God's pleading with us. Because he's covered us. He's made us holy. And he's made us capable of choice. And so he says, come. And in his word, you have the capacity to hear. In his word, you can hear what he's saying. And in his word, you can be transformed by the substance of his what you've heard. In his word, you can have faith to respond. Can. A few weeks ago, I talked to you a little bit about faith. And we talked about the fact that the first thing that you always have to believe is God is. And secondly, God is a rewarder of those who seek him. God is good. Okay. You have to believe that God has transcendent purposes for your life. At the same time, we understand that we don't fully fathom his transcendent purposes. We see them partially, right? So that's a few weeks ago when I was first on this little faith jag. I want you to understand several things about faith. Number one, faith comes by hearing. Okay? So let me just say to you, your faith is fully founded in God and in his word. That's your faith. You start with God, and then you go to Rhema. And it's you must first believe he is, and believe that he's good, rewarder of those who diligently seek him. But then it's through what he says, what he speaks, those are things that is the foundation of your faith. Let me say that you have faith because, and you have faith despite. I'd like us to just kind of walk through some of the faith becauses and the faith despites, okay? Okay? You have faith because. You have faith because God spoke to you, okay? You have faith because He spoke something and you allowed that to create within you the capacity to hear, the activity of hearing, and the receipt of that which is spoken. You allowed that to occur, okay? He spoke it and it happened. You have some will in that. You have faith because of the gift of God. And because you allowed that gift to have its place. You have faith, I suppose you could say. Jill, have you ever experienced any of the goodness of God? You have, okay. And does that help somewhat in your faith? Of course it does, okay. So Jill has experienced a measure of the goodness of God. And because of that, she has some level of faith. But let me just say something to you. God continues to challenge that woman, okay? And the faith that she had yesterday to believe for the things that she has seen really isn't completely adequate for the things which she has not yet seen, because she has to have faith despite what she sees. She has faith because of what she has seen, but there's always a bigger hurdle. There's always the next thing. There's always more. And yes, let's face it. We've experienced God's goodness. We've experienced that God can heal, and He's done this before, and He's done stuff inside of us and done stuff through us, right? Right? We've seen it, yes? Okay. But then there's the next reality. Then there's the next call. And that next call, sure, there's all of the, you know, God's got a good history of, you know, coming through. That's true. He does. But never in this situation. Never with those difficulties. Right? Want to know why? Because faith comes by hearing. And hearing comes out of the Word of God. When God speaks to you, His purpose is to continue to increase you. He's not there to just let you go through the faith because, but He's increasing your faith in the you have faith despite. It's essential that you understand that your faith isn't just faith because, it's faith despite. Because if you don't do the faith despite, then it's probably really not faith. You see, faith, according to the Scriptures, that is already seen, a hope that's already seen is not even really hope. You already got it. Faith in something that's already in your back pocket. You know, I don't have faith in this wallet. It's right here, guys. It's right there. Okay? There's no faith required. Now, maybe there's faith, whether there's money in it or not, that's possible. Okay? Oh, yeah, there's money in it. Faith is not required. Okay? You see what I'm trying to say? It's right here in my hand. There's always a question. Truly, faith is because of God's Word, because of God's nature, because of all those things, but it's always, always, always faith despite. Faith despite what you see. Faith despite the difficulties. Believing God even though. There has to be and even though, if it's going to be faith. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Faith is not falling down the stairs. Faith is not rolling down the hill. Faith is hearing. Faith is believing something that is unseen. Faith is acquiring that which is unseen, and counting it acquired while it remains unseen. Faith is faith because, and faith is faith despite. Faith comes by hearing. Can I tell you another piece of faith? So I've told you that faith comes from God's word. And I've told you that faith, yes, it comes because you've seen before. Yep, that's true. All that's true. Faith also comes because you refuse to be deceived. Now, what does that even mean? How do you even do that? Where do you go from there? The reality is this. Faith in a hearing community is always, could you say dangerous or risky? Because it's always despite. I'm not saying it's actually dangerous or risky. It just feels that way. Okay? You experience it as risky. You believe despite all of that. And so it feels risky to you. Okay? But that's the nature of faith. You know, so I'm a pastor, as you might know. And one of the scariest things in the world is to say, go off and hear God and do what God says. Because I don't know what you're going to hear. Do you see what I'm trying to say? But if I don't say that, what am I saying? Nothing. Zero. Zilch. Death. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And yet, that's the only way to go. It's the only thing to do. How do you have faith because you refuse to be deceived? Because you walk there, even if it doesn't seem sensible. Why? Because you have faith. And faith comes by hearing. What kind of hearing? The capacity to hear. The act of hearing. And the substance of the hearing. All of that comes by hearing. From the word, the rhema, what God has spoken. That's what it is. Why do you refuse? How do you refuse to be deceived? First of all, you never allow an eternal argument to be posed against you using temporal substantiation. Okay? So in other words, who is God? Well, I don't know, but yesterday I was feeling sick. Okay. That was a temporal argument posed against an eternal truth. Did you hear it? Your faith is not based on temporal stuff. I'm not saying, hear me out here, I am not saying that I accept that sickness. I'm not saying that. I do not. Okay? But neither will I accept evidence to the contrary of God's goodness and His desire and capacity to heal me. Okay? I will not accept that as evidence of something, of an eternal truth. That's one of the ways where we refuse to be deceived. One of the ways we refuse to be deceived, I think Diane brought up, is we're grateful. We're grateful throughout, okay? Gratitude toward God throughout whatever it is, the despites, all the despites that you got to deal with, okay? The gratitude keeps us oriented in the right direction, okay? But let me say, we never allow a temporal argument to win an eternal supposition. We will not go there. Does that make sense? We never are willing to let anything come against the nature of God. Let me just say this. Essentially, if you look at every single argument that has ever come against you and your faith, or ever come against our understanding of who God is, or ever come against the true nature of our reality in Him, everything that's ever come against your faith, at its basis, is an argument against the nature of who God is. Generally, it's against His goodness. Sometimes it's against His power or His eternal nature or whatever. But they're almost always, if you boil it right down, it comes against the nature of who God is. Oh, it gets clothed in all sorts of deceptive things. But we believe, we refuse to be deceived because we won't let temporal circumstance argue an eternal argument that we accept. Does that make sense? So we have faith because several things, and we have faith despite a lack of complete understanding. Almost always we have to live in the, yeah, I kind of understand that to a certain degree. We have to live there. Nobody really likes that very well, okay? Everybody wants to, yep, I got this. I figured this all out. Mine. Figured. Nope. You have faith despite the fact that you have partial information. Yes.
My faith is in the fact that God is controlling my future. Not the, this moment has already passed. And God is preparing my future. And I trust Him.
So is the thing that I have already, I am healed? Whatever it is, your wallet in your pocket, is that then moved into the rational and out of the spiritual?
I would say that's not necessarily out of the rational entirely, because there's something valuable and eternal about that which I have received from God by faith in particular into the temporal range. Okay, I'm just not willing to accept opposition to eternal truth by temporal circumstance. Do you see what I'm trying to say? Now, I'm not going to say that temporal circumstance can't bolster your faith, because it does. Okay, let's face it. You've seen healing, and you have greater confidence that you'll see it again. That's the truth. I mean, you do, okay? I'm just saying, I'm not going to let it go the other way. Just because I don't see that healing doesn't mean I'm going to stop believing the truth of the healing of God. Do you see what I'm trying to say? I will believe what is true, period. I want to talk to you about the nature of reality for just a moment, okay? The nature of reality is not what we think, okay? I want you to understand that from a physics standpoint, okay, we all think that I throw the ball and the ball goes where I threw it, okay? And to some degree, that's true. But let me just tell you that the nature of reality, from the most fundamental understanding of physics, is that there's much that you don't know. In fact, there's more that you don't know than that you do know about physics. Okay, I'm just talking about physics. I'm not talking about anything besides just physics at the moment. Okay, in physics, if I fire an electron over to here, I cannot know, for example, its momentum and its position to supreme accuracy. In fact, the only thing I can know is some statistical likelihood of something. It might be, possibly right about here, okay? I'll give it an 80% chance of being between my two fingers, okay? From a physics standpoint, it's a percentage. From a physics standpoint, it's a probability. And in fact, all of everything, if you can move it down to the sum of all these molecular aspects and atomic aspects and subatomic aspects, becomes a probabilistic thing. Now, nobody in science likes that, okay? Everybody wants something to be much clearer, and there's a yes and there's a no. But in fact, what we know, and get this very carefully, the fact is that we know that until I observe this thing, it not only could be anywhere between here and here, it in some sense is everywhere between here and there. It's not just could be, but is. The truth is that if I know where it is, then I've constrained it and I've changed other things so that I can't know them. In physics, if I know something, I've decided to stop knowing a whole bunch of other things. That's just how it works. Okay? That's called quantum mechanics. I'm sure you've heard of it. But the reality is that quantum mechanics declares about the nature of our physical realm that it's not just that you don't know. It's that it's unknown by anyone. It's not like there's this dot that's in my electron and it could be here or here or here with some probabilities that I was just talking to you about. It's not that. It's everywhere until somebody decides to measure it, and then it's there.
I am that I am.
Now God, on the other hand, is that he is. He is the I am that I am. And there was a famous scientist, Einstein, that once said, God does not play dice with the universe. Remember that nice quote? God does not play dice with the universe. I'm going to tell you something. He doesn't play dice with the universe, but he made the universe play dice with itself, okay? And the universe doesn't know what it's about to do, but God does, okay? Now, because God works behind the scenes, well, let me just say this, okay? I just told you that until you observe it, it's not in any location. But once you observe it, then it's there, okay? But then you've lost a bunch of other information, okay, in the same process. I just told you all of that. But let me just tell you, God knows where all of the above is. And he, therefore, has all of this slop to play whatever he wants to do, okay? He can play inside. Does he know where that... Oh, is it going to be, you know, a roll of the dice? Is that going to be snake eyes or double sixes? I don't know, but he knows. The reality is that God works underneath the scene. Now, I'm going to tell you something. The reason I told you all that about physics is I want to tell you about Estella. God has a purpose for Estella, okay? And he's going to get her there, okay? He's going to accomplish for Estella some things. Okay, now, from us, we look at it and we're like, well, I don't know. I don't know how that could happen or where it could go. And it looks to me like we have probabilities of all these different things. And we don't have a clue. But in the end, and maybe Estella will go here and then there. Or maybe Estella will go there and then there. Or maybe, I don't even know. Maybe she went both ways in there. I don't even know. But God gets her there because he sees her. He observes her at that final location. And let me just tell you something. His word is true. His word is true. And you know what? Sometimes Estella makes mistakes. Right? Am I right? And, you know, maybe she was supposed to go like this and this, but she just went a little bit further. Guess what? God knows how to get her over there. Because he's got lots of leeway inside of all of reality. He's got all the leeway to make his word over her come true. And her heart's toward him. And her heart is open to his word. And her heart wants to hear and wants to be changed by the substance of what she's heard. So she'll be changed. And she'll get there. Because he's going to accomplish it for her. Let me just say that when we understand rightly the nature of faith, the nature of the universe, the nature of God, then we can have confidence. We're going to get there. We won't understand much about how we're going to get there. It seems all probabilistic. We don't understand. There's more we don't know than what we do know. But when we believe, it changes. We get there. He's very powerful, this God of ours. And he can accomplish incredible things, this God of ours. I wish I could explain the physics better so that you could understand how amazing the dynamics are. But he sees us in the destination that he's going to get us to. He sees us there. And that's the observation that matters, okay? That's the observation that counts. He's the one that sees us. Now, faith comes by hearing. And hearing comes by the rhema of God. And when we hear, we agree. That's us operating in coherence with his purposes and going in his direction. Now, this morning, we had several things come forth in the prayer room at 9 o'clock or something. There's just a strong sense of our need to expect more with respect to physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual healing. So I want you to hear the word of the Lord. I want you to know that God has healing for and through you. Healing in bodies, healing in minds, healing in emotions, and healing in the spirit. For you and through you. Hear the word of the Lord. If you need Him to create ears, then let Him create ears right now, okay? Because His word is capable of giving you an ear to hear. So take it. Grab a hold of an ear to hear. If your ear is having a hard time hearing, well, let me just tell you, His word is capable of making that ear actually accomplish the act of hearing. So do it. Hear the word of the Lord. And let me further say to you, that if you're struggling to believe that thing, then hear the word of the Lord and let the word come in and take root in who you are. Because His word is capable of accomplishing even that. So just say yeah. Good. Say yeah. Say yes, Lord. Now say yeah. Okay, good. That was good. Because the yeah was the piece, okay? Here's the word of the Lord. He has life healing for you, and He has life healing through you that He desires to accomplish. Stephanie.
Exact same sermon last night from Jimmy Swagger, and I texted Jocelyn, sorry. And I feel like the Lord wants people to know that you don't have to be perfect for God to do all this, because it's not us, it's Him in us. So step out, you know, in faith, and, you know, He can use you to heal, bring healing to someone.
Amen. He can do that. So I want you to receive ear to hear if you need it. Hearing of that ear, if you need it, and receive the word. Because in those things, that's faith. Faith comes by that. All right? The one who said, let there be light, is now saying to you, let there be wholeness. Amen? Father, we accept and hear and receive your word. We accept and hear and know and believe your word. And we do it because you're good, because you're trustworthy, because you're faithful, and despite what we see, and despite our history, and despite our failures, and despite our actions, and despite condemning thoughts, and despite everything, but because you, we hear and hear and hear and believe. Father, I just bless these, your precious people, in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, fall fresh on them. The ears of their heart are open to receive. And I just pray that you just pour in. More of you. Speak. And make alive our ears and our hearts. Make alive our hearing in every facet of that. Make us alive together with you, and make us to be your emissaries, your instruments of release, in Jesus' name. Romans chapter 8 says this, and he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. For those he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he'd be firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. More? Sure. What shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God's the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Jesus Christ is he who died. Yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Bless you all. Thanks for being here today. Grace, grace, grace to you. Paula. So we're going to do cookie preparation on Thursday morning at 9:30.